You're listening to the Ref Recap Podcast on 960theref.com. Here are your hosts, Sam Franco and Ryan Goldstein.
All right, welcome back into another exciting edition of the Ref Recap Podcast right here on 960theref.com. Sam Franco and Ryan Goldstein along with you. Thank you so much for joining us. And a little bit of a sad note today. This is the final edition of the Ref Recap Podcast, as Ryan will be leaving us here at 960 The Ref, but we'll get to all that a little bit later on in the podcast. Ryan, how does it feel now that it's your last show?
It's bittersweet, Sam. It's always fun doing this podcast with you. I mean, I'm excited about what's next for me, but getting through this every week and talking about the Falcons run they had, talking about Georgia football, even though it wasn't the season we wanted, getting to check in every week and talk to you has been a blast.
Yeah, and you've been working here for a few years now, so, you know, even outside of the podcast, there's certainly been a lot of stuff that has gone on in the world of sport related to what we talk about here on 960 The Ref with the Falcons, Braves, all those kind of things. I mean, you can start with the Braves and kind of the ups and downs that they've had, you know, getting the Uptons in and kind of rolling the dice on some of the moves that Frank Wren made. They really didn't end up working out very well, but it seems like at least now that team is heading in a much better direction than they were under Wren, and it seems that John Coppola has done some great moves and done some great work here with this team.
I think the Braves are poised to be really, really good for years to come. I mean, look, obviously the start they have now has not been what people wanted, only winning one game. I guess they're 1-7 now, 1-8, whatever the record is, but it's the nice thing about this season is I think it's one of those – it's kind of a mulligan. If it goes well, great. If it goes poorly, that's fine too, because you're really looking towards the future. You'd like to see the young players – we've talked about this numerous times. I mean, you want to see young players like Swanson do well. You want to see Freddie Freeman playing well, kind of like the MVP caliber second half of the season he had last year. But if Bartolo Colon doesn't pan out, if Ari Dickey doesn't pan out, if, you know, Jaime Garcia doesn't pan out, you're disappointed, but it's not something where you go and say, man – the future, or what I think about the future of the Braves, has all of a sudden shifted.
Right, just because those guys aren't part of the long-term plan for the team. So definitely a lot to be excited about. If you have one, because there haven't been many marquee moments while you've been working here for the Braves, but what are some moments that you'll remember, or maybe just maybe an ode to the blue lot or something?
I think with the Braves, it's the new era almost, the trades they've made. I mean, look, I think when this whole rebuild started, people were questioning what John Coppola was doing. And I think up until this point, you've really seen every move he's made seem to work out, or at least you have confidence in what the move could be. There's a lot of upside in all the moves. You don't look at them and say, oh man, what are we doing? We're just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, not even allowing ourselves to rebuild and rebuild the correct way. And I think the most exciting thing about what the Braves have done over the last couple of years is they're putting themselves in position to get better and better year after year. And it's not we're trying to win the wild card this year, but we're going to hamper ourselves in years to come. It's we might sacrifice a little bit this year and maybe even next year to be really good for 10 or 15 years and kind of have the run, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s that so many of us Braves fans were accustomed to.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So not a whole lot going on there. Obviously, the Atlanta Falcons got oh so close for us, and I guess you would have to say then that the best moment of the Falcons of the past recent years would have been beating Green Bay in the NFC Championship to get to the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, look, it's kind of like making a Final Four. Obviously, the way the Super Bowl ended was so heartbreaking, but to just be in the game and, you know, have those extra 2 weeks of being in the season and getting to watch your team prepare for a Super Bowl and even play and have such a dominant lead and only to blow it, you know, you feel like you kind of made it as a fan. Now, granted, when the way the game shaped out, you can't feel like that because it just ended so horribly. But as a Falcons fan, when you and I first did this podcast, week one would have been, I guess, the summer. We kind of previewed the Falcons, or it was right after the Falcons had started their season. And we were saying, or this was a loss to Tampa Bay. So we were like, there's no way we're ever going to talk about the Falcons on this podcast.
Right.
Because they're not going to be any good. And they just kept finding ways to win games. And a lot of us thought they would start off 0-6 with the schedule they had because they faced Carolina, Denver, and Seattle all within the first 6 weeks. And the way the team played and the way the team and people around Atlanta and Athens rallied around them and the state of Georgia as a whole, that was the coolest thing to be a part of because you felt like it was everyone's team. It wasn't, you know, whether you were a Falcons fan, a casual Falcons fan, a diehard Falcons fan, this was something that the city everybody was a part of. And that's kind of why we do what we do, because you see how sports can bring people together.
Absolutely. And for the city of Atlanta to kind of rally around, and it's crazy because Atlanta does have that reputation of not being a great sports city, although if you look at what Atlanta United's doing, that is changing a little bit. But they do have their reputation, but Atlanta certainly rallied around this Falcons team and really just gave us such a great few weeks there, and it's just so Atlanta that it ended the way that it did.
Right, and hopefully, look, you know, the Falcons are now what they call like Camp Brotherhood, which is a ridiculous name, but hopefully it works. They're all in Florida working out together before they start official team workouts next week in Flowery Branch.
Well, you know how the Falcons are all about those really ridiculously worded things and names and things like that.
Oh, Dan Quinn is all about his cliches. And look, Dan Quinn, I think, has showed that he can coach and he knows what he's doing. And I think the Falcons are in a good spot. Obviously, the NFL is the toughest sport to judge because there's so much parity. There's so many teams that will make the Super Bowl one year, might not even make the playoffs the following. Look, this past year, both teams that were Super Bowl participants the year before, and Denver and Carolina didn't make the playoffs. So you never know what will happen with injuries and whatnot. But it seems like the Falcons, they have a really young nucleus on the defensive side of the ball with a lot of talented players. Matt Ryan clearly seems to be in his prime. You have some great offensive weapons. So, I mean, it seems like barring any crazy injuries or just fluky things, the Falcons are at least in a position to be one of the better teams in the NFC and have a shot at going back to the Super Bowl, hopefully, in the next few years.
Yeah, so we'll just keep our fingers crossed. I mean, it seems like we do that a lot in relation to Atlanta sports teams, but yeah, it's really all you can do. You know, if you get too crazy about it, you'll end up feeling like you did after the Super Bowl all the time. So,
oh God, I cannot even imagine.
No,
that's the thing. It's as much as I want to be just this diehard fan, you live and die by every play. I realize I wouldn't be around, especially as an Atlanta sports fan.
Yeah, exactly. So the Falcons gave us hope, and hopefully they can knock down that door, as Samuel L. Jackson says on those Rise Up promos. Hopefully they'll knock that door down sooner rather than later. The Hawks, sent in the years that Ryan's been working here, really had one peak, and it was the ridiculous run they went on in January a few years ago, the year that they had the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, when Atlanta was undefeated for the entire month of January.
Now, the Hawks have been, they've been exciting. Look, it's you and I, we go over this and, you know, debate it and whatnot. It's just, it's so hard in the NBA. Look, you have LeBron, you have the Warriors, and maybe the Spurs, and otherwise, they're just other teams that are kind of hoping to be there when LeBron steps down or when these super teams break up. And that's kind of where you feel with the Hawks. There's some moments where you're like, this is awesome. Maybe we have a shot. And then you kind of go back to reality. But that one stretch, you thought, maybe this is where team basketball takes over a superstar. And it obviously did in the playoffs. But it was another thing where the city rallied around the Hawks and you felt like, okay, we can do this. This is a team that is – and they're fun to watch. I think the Hawks have always been, at least in recent years since Coach Bud came over from San Antonio, a fun team to watch. And that's what's made it exciting. But you also kind of realize there's a ceiling for them.
Yeah, you certainly do. And it, not just them. I mean, there's a ceiling for, like, every team in the NBA, unfortunately, just because you've got the Cavs, you've got the Warriors, you've got the Spurs. And those are the only teams I really put in those categories. I know some people like Houston, and you look at Boston, you look at some other teams that might give the Cavs trouble in the East. And this is probably the most vulnerable that the Cavs have been, but it's still just, what do we do to bide our time until those teams, you know, dissipate and become something else?
Without a doubt. And look, I mean, this Cavs team, like you said, I think this stretch they've gone on, I think I saw they were 12-14 since the All-Star break, and, you know, no team has had a losing record after the All-Star break and gone on to win a title. But with LeBron James, the way he's played and been in so many consecutive finals, you just feel like there's a switch. And there are very few people in sports who you look at and you say, oh, okay, they can play poorly, and then all of a sudden switch it on. But LeBron James seems to be the guy who, if anybody could do it, he could and will his team into another finals appearance against most likely the Warriors.
All right, so there's kind of what the Hawks have done. We'll look at Georgia sports, and then before we get out of here on this final edition of the Ref Recap podcast, I want Ryan to just kind of give some of his favorite moments in sports as a whole since he's been working here at the Ref. So looking at Georgia, and we'll start with Georgia football, and it's funny, the best moment for Georgia football over the last, you know, 5 years or so was 2012 when they almost got to the national championship game. But outside of that, it's kind of been downhill since then. We've seen Kirby Smart on the recruiting trail get the momentum going back up. But overall for Georgia football since that 2012 season, it's been a rough go of things, at least for the fan base in terms of the level of expectation that they have for this program.
With the sports in Atlanta at this time, it almost seems like they're all in a similar spot, right? They're kind of sleeping giants that are ready to be awake. I mean, it's like the Braves, you kind of feel like, are at that point now. Georgia football, they haven't met expectations like you mentioned the last couple of years. And as we head into this season, it seems like they're the favorite in the East, or they should be the favorite in the East, more because of the teams around them, not maybe the talent that they have in Athens, or the talent they have in Athens, but maybe not because of the results we've seen in years past. But I think you feel, with Kirby Smart at the helm, the recruiting, especially this past year's class, you feel like things are really headed in the right direction. Now, again, whether that ever takes shape on the field, that remains to be seen. But as a Georgia fan, you can at least be excited about the incoming talent, the freshmen. And now that Kirby is starting to get his own players, I think there's a lot to be said about that. I think as fans, we forget, look, if you are doing something one way for a very long time, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and probably tries to make their mark, there's a learning effort and a balance on both sides. Kirby probably came in and probably acted like the new sheriff in town, and I'm sure there were some players that didn't like that. And just on the same, you know, so it's a learning effort on both parts. And I think as we get deeper into his tenure, you'll see the maturation process on both sides, with Kirby and his players kind of meeting in the middle to have the best product on the field. And I think that's why Georgia fans should be excited. But you're right, the last couple of years since 2012 have not offered us great moments as Georgia fans.
No, but it really does feel like the best is yet to come from this group, and hopefully that is the case. And it really should start with this loaded 2017 recruiting class that they've pulled in. Switching to basketball, Georgia basketball obviously missing on the NCAA tournament yet again. This season ended with a sour note with the loss to Belmont in the opening round of the NIT, a tournament that you saw Georgia Tech make all the way, make it all the way to the final of. So especially when looking at your main rival non-conference-wise in Georgia Tech and your main in-state rival, you're looking at them and they seem on the uptick, whereas Georgia basketball kind of seems like they're at a little bit of a crossroads right now.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at Georgia basketball, next year is a huge year, obviously, and that's not I'm not a rocket scientist by saying that, or just this, you know, crazy pundit, because it's Mark Fox has to prove himself. Look, he's only made two NCAA tournament appearances in 8 years, never won a game in the NCAA tournament. So it's one of those things where you either have to make it and do well in the tournament, especially like we saw, you know, an SEC foe in South Carolina right up the road make a run to the Final Four after never winning a game prior to this year in the NCAA tournament. So it seems like Georgia basketball, like you said, is at a crossroads. Either it'd be Coach Fox here for the long term, if he can, you know, have success. And they have a good recruiting class coming in with Rayshon Hammond as one of the top players that Coach Fox has ever recruited behind KCP. Or you'll probably have somebody new in here, and just like the football team, you'll be starting over a little bit, but you'll at least feel that new, hopefully revitalized energy if that's the case.
All right, so that's kind of the rundown of what we've seen from some of these sports. I guess Georgia basketball's best moment since you've been working here would be, oh goodness, that one's kind of tough. They've beaten Kentucky, a few times, or maybe one time, I guess, but that one might be a little harder to come up with something.
Georgia basketball, since I've been working at the Ref, has kind of been characterized as, you know, good but not great. You know, they plateaued, and that's unfortunate. I mean, there have been moments where you've seen J.J. Frazier rise above and find ways to get things done when nobody thought he could, or you saw Yonte Maiden have kind of a breakout season.
They did make the NCAA tournament a few years ago, and unfortunately came up against Michigan State in the opening round, who was definitely seeded too low with that 7 seed.
They got screwed in that, exactly.
But other than that, hopefully, again, it's kind of like we've done with a lot of these. You're really looking towards the future, which, as a sports fan, can kind of get old. So hopefully we're not looking towards the future for too much longer. So, Ryan, since you've been working here, obviously a lot has gone down in the world of sports. It's been a few years. So what are some of your favorite, like, overall moments just on, I guess, the national sports scene?
The Cubs winning the World Series, that was pretty incredible to go through. And look, I'm not a diehard Cubs fan by any means, but when I watched the Cubs win the World Series, that was the moment I was like, man, this is an awesome feeling. And I can only imagine what it'll be like for my team to go through that. And with the Falcons, we kind of got that. Obviously, they didn't finish it off and win the Super Bowl. But the Cubs, you know, seeing that drought ending, Cleveland coming from a 3-1 deficit, just like the Cubs came back, even though I wanted Golden State to win the championship. But to see that, LeBron do what he was doing. I mean, this year has been a wacky year in sports, seeing Villanova beat North Carolina on a buzzer beater 2 years ago now in the NCAA tournament. There's been so many different exciting memories. I think also on a local level for me, it's been, you know, I don't know if people would say this is, was exciting, but getting to do what we do when Kirby Smart was hired at Georgia and that whole, you know, Mark Richt being let go and Kirby Smart being hired, that was really exciting. I mean, there's not many moments. Look, Mark Richt had been there 15 years, so it's not every offseason where you get to talk about a new coach and this new energy that they're bringing in and the excitement. And I think being around Athens during that time, it was interesting because you could feel both sides. You could feel the people burned by the fact that Coach Richt was no longer there, and you could feel the people ecstatic that there was a new voice and Kirby Smart coming back to Athens where he went to school. And then I think, obviously, with the Falcons, the run they made, I mentioned earlier, I mean, nobody thought they would be in that position. And you and I are by far the biggest Falcons fans at the station. So to kind of see the Falcons do well while everybody else was questioning them, and not to say that you and I thought they would be where they were, but it was just like, okay, this is our team. You know, this is the team. They're doing this. And that was awesome. I mean, that was the coolest thing to be a part of, probably.
Yeah, the most brutal thing I've ever had to do was go on air like some 8 hours after that was over.
That was not envious of you for, yes.
That was absolutely the worst. Dave and I were actually talking about that on the morning show recently, just how awful that was to have to do that. But, yeah, I agree. I think that season and the season they had was definitely something to be excited about. I'm a little perturbed that you haven't mentioned being a two-time co-host of the Refies.
Oh, my gosh. I you know, it slipped my mind. I wanted to save that for last. That was awesome. Getting to start that with you and getting to give all of our listeners and our different guests awards, I feel like that needs to be left in good hands, and I know that it will be in good hands with you, and I hope for you, you know, that you find a co-host that can do a good job, because that's something that's very important. You're very right.
Yeah, I'll have to audition different people for the role of a Refy co-host, and like you said, it's not something that can be taken lightly.
No, it is not by any means. And I think one of the other coolest things that I got to do while working was the first show I ever did, Coach Donnan was in there. And I remember it was me and Eric who used to work there, and it was just the two of us and then Coach Donnan. And I always say to Dave, I'm shocked that you ever let me do that and that you trusted me enough to do this after only working at the station for about 2 months. But that was awesome to get to work with somebody who, you know, was in the College Football Hall of Fame and knows as much as he does and get to talk football with him for a couple of hours.
Absolutely. Coach Donnan is the best. All right, Ryan, this is the last time you get to do this. Parting shots. What you got? You got any final edition of the Ref Recap podcast? Parting shots for people out there.
I want to say thank you. Thank you to you, Sam. It's been fun doing this with you. I mean, I learned so much from you over the last couple of years. I remember the first day I ever came in. I think it was you and Dave were talking about the NFL draft, and this was the draft that the Falcons had taken Vic Beasley and not Todd Gurley. So that was always fun because we've seen kind of what has taken place since then. But
yeah, how wrong were all of us on that one?
Exactly. Thank you to you, though. It's been fun. Thank you to everyone who's listened. It really does mean a lot to us. It means a lot to me. It's been a blast. The last 2 years working there has been a blast, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything. And I will certainly miss it.
Oh, Ryan, we'll miss you. And what does the future hold for you so that our listeners know where you'll be at?
The future, I'll be in Atlanta working at a company called Jekyll Promotions. It's a company in which you sell branded merchandise. So if anybody's looking for, you know, 1,000 pins with your company name on it, give me a call. I'd be happy to hook you up. And that's where I'll be. And I will be in Athens, I'm sure, for many games. And now that I'm, you know, not working anymore, I'll get to enjoy the Saturdays in Athens with my friends and tailgating and feeling like I'm a student all over again.
Well, good luck with everything, Ryan. You've been great in your time here at the Ref. And, you know, we wish you nothing but the best in the future.
Thank you so much.
That'll wrap things up here on the final edition of the Ref Recap podcast. But fear not, we're not done podcasting here at 960 The Ref. Keep it locked. and we'll have some more information for you about a new podcast we are developing. Very excited about it. It's going to be a very cool thing to do. And like I said, very much looking forward to it. So you can find out all the information on that by listening to The Morning Show weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. You can also listen to The Home Team with Chris Brame and Jeff Dantzler from 4 to 7 p.m. We have Dog Nation Daily every weekday, noon to 1 with Brandon Adams. So plenty of great coverage here on 960 The Ref. And as I said a minute ago, it's sad, but this is it. This is the final Ref Recap podcast. So for Ryan Goldstein, I'm Sam Franco. Thank you guys for coming along with us, and we'll see you down the road.